Sunday morning. This is January the 12th, 2020. We just got through singing songs. We sang three of them. One of them, we are able to go up and take the country. The next one, behold, I give unto you power. And then the third one, take the land. Do you know it's in the church's hands, not in President Trump's hands, even though he is anointed? And he is appointed at this time to stand where he stands to help drain the swamp. But do you know it's in the power of the church? We're the ones that let the devil take everything. We were the ones that God said in Genesis to subdue. Not get things. The focus is not to get things, even though the Lord said, take the vast resources of the earth and then go take it. Take it everywhere. Subdue the whole earth. He didn't say stop in your garden. Subdue the earth. We have to have resources to do that. And there's nothing wrong with using your faith for that. But if that's your aim and that's your goal, then you've missed it. It's about seeking first the kingdom. Because when you seek first the kingdom, it says all these things. What things? Car, house, blah, just name them. All these things are added. You can't follow God and do it His way and Him not prosper you. And this is what I'm going to bring this morning. The Lord began to speak to me about your steps are ordered of the Lord. He has a path. Okay. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. The word ordered there means to be erect, standing, to stand up. In a great variety of applications, rather literally, it means to establish, fix, prepare, apply, or figuratively to appoint, render sure, proper, or prosperous. So he's got a prosperous path that he has ordered for our life. It's up to us whether we ever get in it or not. Now I'm going to use myself as an example here. The Lord just said you can kind of give a little story of your life here. I was born in Austin, Texas, moved to Houston at the age of 2. At age 11, I think, I moved out to West Texas, Midland to be exact. Around this time, I had a supernatural conversion experience. When I was in 7th grade, my parents divorced and our mother moved us to Dallas area. I remember it being so bad, and we were living in very poor conditions. I mean, we lived, even the south side was up compared to where we were living. I went to the pastor at the Baptist church I attended. He came over to our house. It was a shack, really. I remember feeling ashamed because the couch was full of holes. I expressed to him I wanted to go back to West Texas, and I didn't know till later that the pastor called my dad and explained to him our condition, and my father actually called my mother's old boss and asked if he would rehire my mother so that I could come back to my land. The Lord said, see, I've ordered your steps from the moment you were born. I even had our ex-pastor's wife, when they first moved to Odessa, they were here 3 years, and is it 3 years? 3 years. What, 91 to 94. I remember she didn't know me, and they had a ladies' meeting. Some of the women got together. I don't know how that came about, but they got together, and they had kind of a fellowship. And she stood up and she just began to minister. And the first person she called out was me. And she started speaking. She said, "The devil tried to take you out from your mother's womb. Born 2 months premature in 1953, it still today is cannot be good." First time I'd ever heard anything like that, and how God had called me from my mother's womb. Okay, my land, and I was in a sparse land at that time. Where we were was a very sparse land. My junior year of high school, went to live with my dad in Odessa. The Lord, using my dad, initially arranged my marriage. Didn't know it until just a few years ago. The Lord let me know that He has had His hand on my life and ordering it all along, as well as Danny's life. Our second year of marriage, we moved to Kermit. That's where he got born again, filled with the Spirit, and so did I. About a year later, we moved back to Odessa, back to our land. God sent me here. It's where I have prospered. You prosper where you're planted, naturally and spiritually. When we seek the kingdom first and follow God's path, line up spiritually, naturally, you will see it also. You can take a look at our lives and see that it is so. No one can deny it. Years ago, Danny went to our pastor at the time about a job change, and this pastor saw that as a tither that God had maneuvered Danny's career. Just through talking to him, he could see the path of the Lord because he was a tither. That's what He does. When we get in our place, God directs our steps. Have you ever noticed out here in this area how people just want to get away from here? Our family, when they come to town, they call it ghetto. But then, you know, they've lived in a place that reminds me of Odessa, Louisville. You know what I'm saying? God said many years ago out here that this area would be an oasis in the desert. Satan doesn't want people out here. Great things are happening. They're going to happen out here. They all head to greener pastures, or so they think. Because of what is doing and going, because of what He is doing, He's going to do here, there are a lot of ites out here. I've heard a pastor that we know talk about other people coming in from out here, talking about how, the oppression and different things. I don't know, I think they probably bring it with them as much as anything, because you go to a new area, you're going to influences you're not used to. You're just used to what you deal with out here. It's dry, not very pretty, no mountains or lakes or oceans, but even the place between Middle and Odessa where they hold Christian concert is called Oasis in the Desert. God wants to do things here, but so many are moved by what they want and not by what God wants. I frankly am exhausted with it and feel like kicking them all in the spiritual pants. What do you think you're doing, wasting your time? They're all living for themselves. Who wants to follow their grandkids around? If you know what I mean. We didn't prosper ourselves. God has done it. We have remained planted. We have developed roots, and we are bearing fruit. If you don't get planted and you don't bear roots, you will not have any fruit. Duh. That goes with your garden. That goes with anything. God laid it down in His Word. Abraham, the father of our faith, learned a few things about this. He did well on his land, but not well when he got off of it. Notice Israel, off their land more than on it. What happened because of it? Well, there's a Muslim temple on the Temple Mount that's preventing the building of the third temple right now. That happened because they weren't on their land. That Ishmael crowd, that his hand is against every man that we are seeing all over the world. Ishmael, even our own Congress, their plot is to get as many congressmen in, because congressmen make laws, to try to change our culture to Sharia law, and they're all their demonic stuff. There's been a plot against America, not just America, the world. They've pretty well taken over the UK. They even have a Muslim mayor in London. Why has this happened? We have not stayed on our land. This week after the death of the world's large leading terrorist, even United States congressmen from the left is siding with the terrorist. Shameful. As a church, we must get on our land, stay put, grow roots, and see growth. Now you can understand why so many never seem to prosper or get ahead. They never stay anywhere long enough to be able to grow. Their theme song, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home. Where does that ever get anybody? Poverty. We are to expand. God did not intend for Adam to just remain in the garden, but to subdue the earth. Okay, Isaiah 37. Now I see why certain family members that we know of don't have anything. Haven't gotten anywhere, hadn't done anything, and they're grown and grown a long time. And I'm not present company, it's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about you observe and you see. No roots. How can you expect a crop and see fruit if you don't have any roots? Isaiah 37:31. I'm telling you, I don't make this stuff up. Can you see how Satan sabotages you to get you off of your land where you will prosper and bear fruit? And the remnant that has escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Let me read that again. And the remnant that's escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. If you don't take root downward, you won't bear fruit upward. This is naturally speaking and spiritually speaking. Even though the Lord has ordered my steps, there have been a lot of giants in the land, but I have overcome. There were many years where all there were roots, but now you can see in our lives the fruit upwardly. Never leave your land. This has been this is the history of the world right there. It started with Israel. And everybody, because God set it down in His Word, every nation, not really the United States, some in the United States, yes, but every nation has wanted to blow Israel off the map. But they're going to be on their land, and they ain't going to be pushed off their land. God's going to see to it. He will overcome their enemies. He's done it before, the Six-Day War. He will do it again. They're not pushing them off their land. The devil might as well just get over it. He thinks he's going to exalt himself in their temple. It will be short-lived. That's what it's all about. Genesis, let's look at this. Genesis 12. The devil wants you off of your land. Parable of the sower. There it is right there. Parable of the sower. He comes immediately to take the word. Why? The seed causes you to make roots and to bear fruit. It's as plain as the nose on your face today. This is Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. I'd have to say that people that have cursed this ministry have not fared well. And that's not because of me. That's not because of Danny. That's because God has blessed this ministry. It's the same with you. If God's called you and people curse you, It won't bode well with you. That's God's way with his children. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Well, let's keep reading to verse 10 here. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Well, his first mistake. Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Do you notice all those things that he tried to implement and got in the way of God's plan on his land, ended up departing? Mm-hmm. Lot, mm-hmm. And even Hagar and Ishmael. And Abram took Sarai's wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. Canaanites, mm-hmm. Nephilim, giants. Lord sent him right into the land of giants. He was used to being, I mean, he worshipped the moon god, from what I understand, Mesopotamia. He called him out. All right. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanites, and the Canaanite was in the land. Brings it back to Keith Moore. The Lord gives you the land, but he said, there's four big old hairy demons out there you got to fight off. But he's given you the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now listen to this. It's not just to you. It's to your seed. Our kids don't want to hear this, but every stinking one of them belong here. They've been sabotaged, every one of them. The devil sabotaged them to get them out of here. I wonder why. And it removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched its tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. There he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram sojourned going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. See how the devil uses his tactics to get you, oh, I can't make any money here. Housing's too high here. Everything costs too much here. Well, it's a ghetto there. Or here. When it got bad for Abraham, he headed to Egypt. Guess what happened in Egypt? They picked up some help. Help them disobey God and help them stay out of God's promises. How about that? Anytime we go that way, if we pick up baggage that we don't want, and it bears fruit too, let me tell you. It bears fruit. All right, Genesis 13. Strong today. Genesis 13:1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, unto the south. Abram was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold, and he went on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with him, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was gone, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. These are all giants here, these Canaanites and Perizzites. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren, or we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Those relatives, you know, that come into town, all they do is want to bleed you dry. Yeah. As Lot. Was he supposed to be coming? No. But God got rid of him. Abraham didn't need him. All right, Genesis 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son or the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. It's not just to you, it's for your seed. And I will make thee, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. The servant said unto him, Preventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into thy land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, Unto thy seed I will give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither. Now, we know that Abraham lived to be 175, Isaac 180, because Isaac actually did not get off his land. There's a lot to be said. When you're in your land, that's where you prosper in every way. When you're off your land, that's where the leanness comes. I'm just prompted to say this. People use excuses, well, I'm not coming out there, things are too high. But the problem is not that things are too high. The problem is you have such messed up thinking processes, but you can't believe God. That's the problem. That's everyone's problem. God has given us the land. He has given us faith to acquire the things we need to do what he's called us to do. But, as we'll see later, he's given us his word to renew our mind that we can know his will and we can execute his will. See, that's what the problem is. People, they come out here and they're trying to do it in their flesh. You ain't going to do it in your flesh. God's not going to let your flesh prevail over his plan. Say, we get in our little thinking it has to be a certain way, and if it doesn't happen the way we think it ought to, then we think, well, God's not in it. I have seen preacher after preacher leave this area with that very thinking. Well, get God's plan, it'll work out. You do your own plan, you're building your own building, your own little empire out here. Yeah, I can see where maybe it just fell apart. It needed to fall apart. Abraham learned some things about this, and he was determined to protect his son from making the same mistakes that he did. Okay. All right, Genesis 26. We're going to see how God honored Abraham. He was faithful to Abraham even after Abraham was gone, concerning the children. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. There is no greener grass. Do you know that? There is no greener grass. The landscape may be prettier, but the grass is no greener there than it is here. Our greenest grass is where the Lord has put us. When you get to heaven, He'll give you mountains and a lake, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Then we see down here, verse 12, then Isaac sowed seed in that land, even though it was a famine going on, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So, in the time of famine, here he is prospering. And all the ites around him are going, what gives with this man? Everybody else is starving. They're having to go to Egypt for their food supply. When you get to the place that you can handle wealth, you'll have it. He's not going to just put it into somebody's hands. He's just going to blow it, waste it. We have to be taught how to handle his stuff. You know what I mean? The Lord recently revealed to me that Satan strategically sabotaged every one of my children and grandchildren out of Odessa. God has a work for them here. I won't tell them that unless there comes a time that they can hear it. They all think that Odessa is ghetto, and I say not. It is the oasis in the desert. Our day is no different than Abraham's and Isaac's day. They dwelt with the ites, and so do we. Even Jesus talked about the ites when he was here. Matthew 13. I've had one of my children ask me, do I know some things? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. Would you tell me? And I said, no, ma'am, I won't. Because I said, if you do what I say because I told you, then when things don't go right, you'll blame me. No, I said, you'll hear it from God. You will hear God's plan from God. Or somebody you esteem highly enough that you would believe that they hear from God. Matthew 13. Let's see, 13. Okay, I guess start at 1. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that the whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Isn't that what I've been talking about? No roots, no fruit. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Well, what's taking the seed? The ites. They're all of Satan. They're all his bunch, his crowd. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. See, when their hearts get right, God can begin to impart to you when your heart gets right. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their hearts are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy received it. We didn't know key was in the anons. Yet hath he not root in himself, but it endureth for a while. For while tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed. Well, I remember one time, one of my grandkids, and she'd just gotten born again. I was trying to help her out as much as I could to impart some stuff to her. I remember her calling me and saying, I just prayed for my Grammy. And now she's on the way to the hospital. Why did God do that? So, honey, God didn't do that. You know? Just not knowing that old religious, you know, well, God put me there to teach me something. Like Brother Hagin said, well, what have you learned from being sick for 25 years? That I don't want to be sick anymore. That's what I learned. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know, we got to be on our land physically and mentally. I mean, if you come here and all you've heard is negative and the hate speech and all of that, you won't stay if that's all you listen to. But if you're hearing God say, like Abraham, I'm sending you away from your home, away from your family, and I'm going to tell you to go, and I'll tell you when you get there, when to stop. Basically what he told him. All right, where did I stop? Okay. And another parable he put forth unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is where we are as the church. There's a lot of tares among the wheat. But the Lord's not going to rip them up. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. The whole kingdom is about this subject. Rooting, bearing fruit. When indeed in the least of all... Well, let me just start over. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Like I said, and when I was reading about myself a little bit, we had a lot of years, and all we had were roots. We didn't see any fruit. Was it growing under there? Yes, it was. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept hidden, secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth of the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall call them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said unto them, Have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then he said unto them, Therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. It came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house, and did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So Jesus, through the parables, are trying to impart to them how it works, how the kingdom operates. We don't need to be concerned about the tares. We just need to be about the master's business. We need to get on our land, sow in our land, reap in our land. Don't get off of our land. That's what the Lord's saying here today. The Lord recently... Okay, I did that. What is amazing to me, so many today are just waiting for the Lord to come and take us away. But when he comes, he will clean up the landscape. He will be with, we'll be with him for 1,000 years. So he's not coming to take us away. We will still be on our land. Go read Revelation. He'll have 1,000-year reign on this earth. He's going to come in and he is going to change the landscape. He's going to set up his throne, Isaiah says. He will rule it with a rod of iron. This land means a lot to him. He created it. Okay. That's Revelation. Well, let's just read it. Revelation 19. We're going to get to rule and reign here like we wanted to. Just think about it, with no devil. No demonic influences. Verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. All these satanic Luciferians that have feasted on the flesh of men, that's what the Nephilim did. They turned on the sons of men, the half-breeds, and they began to devour men's flesh. But this is what's going to happen. Jesus is going to just, and he's calling for the fowls of the air to come and devour the flesh. That they may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne and against his army. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive to the lake of fire burning with brimstone. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So the sword of his mouth is going to speak, and they're going to all be slain. Then, let's keep going. It's too good to stop here. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he may be loosed a little season. So he's going to be in that pit while we're on the earth 1,000 years. He's going to be loosed at the end of that 1,000 years. He is going to rouse up the nations, deceive the nations, and try to get them to come against God. Well, God's going to call fire from heaven, it says. Fire comes down from heaven and devours them all. And then the devil's thrown in the lake of fire with the false prophet and the beast, Antichrist. Right here, verse 9. Well, let me keep reading here. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But these shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We're reigning here, and we're going to reign when he comes. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Doesn't say heaven, it says earth here. The four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city in fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne judgment, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Okay. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her bridegroom. So when you get in discussions with these people and they say different things, you know, I come across a lot of people that read books on heaven, and I said, let me just caution you. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it in the trash. It's where it belongs. Because we're going to be here 1,000 years when he comes.
Read it for yourself.
Even the Antichrist will not take the Israelites' land, even though he has tried for thousands of years to run them off. They always manage to get back there.
Why? It's their land.
That's why it blooms. Scripture's about blooming in the desert. They bloom where they're planted because it is their land. Everything, naturally speaking, is bigger and better over there. Not because of them, but because of God's promise, the land of milk and honey. You know, the grapes on the pole. There is milk and honey on your land also. Where God plants you, He expects you to stay there, grow roots, and bear fruit. I believe many prodigals are out there that belong here, and I believe the Lord is bringing them home. This happens when you are off your land. What did it say about the young man? He went, he left father's house, he wasted all of his inheritance on wayward living, and he found himself in want, feeding the pigs, and he remembered father's house. Usually, they have to come to a place of want to realize, well, you know, in father's house, I didn't go through this. There's provision in Father's house. And there was. There was forgiveness. There was love. There was acceptance. There was prosperity. There was favoritism. So Papa was a rolling stone. You know, I thought about that, especially the black community and the temptations and the influences they've had, because Satan's used music to try to get people off course through the drug culture and gang culture and all of that kind of stuff. And the temptations, all of them, I don't know, there might have been one of them come out of that group that actually did well, but the rest of them had tragic ends, drug overdoses, you know, different things. And I'm thinking, with no wonder with the kind of songs you sing. It's propaganda. Satan's message. Poor, black, on drugs, running with the gangs. That's the best you could ever. That's how the devil has kept the black community under such oppression. And others too. And they're coming out of it and they're seeing it for the first time that the whites are not their enemy. That the devil has done this. That the real white supremacists are the ones that have kept them under the plantation, the left. They're the ones that have sold them the lie. They're the ones that convinced them to kill their babies. I heard it was a black pastor talking about the stats of abortion. Out of all the abortions done, I guess, worldwide, or maybe just the United States of America, that there's only like an 8% of the black women in America have 30% of the abortions. Only 8%? No. He said 5%. It was 8% black women. 5% were ovulating black women that can have babies. They were having over, I think it was like 33% of the abortions in the United States. Yeah. All right, I want you to say this with me. I will not be moved. From off my land. For I know that it is God's plan. For me to take my roots downward. And to bear fruit upward. You know, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they would not go in and take their land. They wouldn't do it. They refused. But their children did. Joshua took them in and they took the land. Well, it's time to take your land.